Now, can you turn, please, to Matthew chapter 5, reading verses 1 to 12, Matthew 5. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." And we trust that God will bless that reading of his word. The peacemaking is not a thing that comes naturally to us. Quite the opposite, in fact. We're more prone to disturbing the peace than making peace. But a peacemaker is different to a peacekeeper. We can easily keep the peace by not dealing with what needs to be dealt with, by not saying what needs to be said. A peacekeeper can choose peace at any price. The prophets spoke of people who proclaimed peace when there was no peace. Sometimes we have to create waves in order to bring about peace. And Jesus said to his disciples, and he says to us this morning, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." Now, God is described in the Bible as the God of peace. He has made peace for us through the Lord Jesus Christ, and he has reconciled us to himself. In Corinthians, we're told God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Making peace is a real part of God's character. And those who have become members of God's family, those who are children of God, we should share that family likeness. His sons and his daughters should become peacemakers. Of course, the ultimate peace, the real peace that we all need, that all people need, is to have peace with God. The Apostle Paul speaks about it in Romans chapter 5. He says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." God made that peace for us in sending his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, because there was no peace between us and God. Our sins kept us at a distance from God, and God had to come and bear our sins upon his own body on the tree in order that we might know peace. Sometimes the Beatitude, "Blessed are the peacemakers," is often quoted in the context of peace negotiations that go on throughout the world, where a skilled diplomat seeks to broker a deal between two warring peoples or two warring nations. But that is to rest the beatitude out of its context. Jesus here is not speaking about the mere cessation of hostilities among nations. He is speaking about the cessation of hostility between the people and God. This is the peace that the Lord Jesus Christ came to make, came to establish. Our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ, is the supreme peacemaker. He is described as the Prince of Peace. And at the time of his birth, the angels spoke peace. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. That peace was bought at a very great price. In Colossians, Paul says that he made peace by the blood of his cross. Christ is the supreme example of sacrificial aggression in bringing peace to our hearts. The Old Testament word for peace is the word shalom. That word conveys the idea of wholeness, of health, of well-being. It's a word that is so similar to in scope to the word salvation that we could almost say salvation in its place. Bringing this Old Testament meaning of the word peace into the New Testament, the term peacemaker could make us think of a new term where we could express it this way, salvation maker. Now, we need to be guarded in our use of that word. It's obviously a difficult term and would require a number of qualifications, but it helps us embrace the idea of the kind of peacemaking that the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking about here. Evangelism, in whatever form, is an integral part of being a Christian. Paul describes the gospel message as the gospel of peace, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Here is a peace message. And as we proclaim that message of peace, we are truly peacemakers. Another dimension to the peacemaking activity of the children of God is that we should seek peace among ourselves. That we should seek the peace of God's people. Paul describes this peacemaking well in Colossians 3. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. When the peace of Christ is ruling in our hearts, then we will see the outworking of that as we become peacemakers. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And so be thankful. This means that peace is the referee who blows the whistle on any action that is out of line. Paul does not mean that we are to feel peace. Whether we feel it or not is not the point. He means that God has called us to peace. Therefore, peace, the harmony and well-being of our fellowship, that must be a priority. Some Christians never do that. They do not seem to know or care that Jesus prayed that his people might dwell in unity as he and the Father lived in unity, that there would be a peace based upon his truth. Jesus prayed in John 17, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." The most effective part of our evangelism is as people see us as peacemakers. That is, that there is peace among ourselves, and that we go to proclaim that message of peace. To disrupt peace in a church fellowship is to despise the prayers of Christ and the blessings of Christ. Paul uses another word picture for peace. He says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. in the context here in this part of Ephesians, Paul is urging us to practice humility and patience. And he adds that peace is the bond, the cord that ties us all together. We are at peace with God. Each of us have been brought in and are called children of God. And as we have received peace from God, and we have peace with God, so we should strive that we become peacemakers, and that we promote and provide peace in our gatherings. As we attempt to put peacemaking into practice, there are certain mistakes that sometimes we can make. John Stott, note the spelling of the surname, said that the words peace and appeasement are not synonyms. They're not the same. Peace and appeasement, they're not the same. Now, while the dictionary would not make a great deal of difference between a peacemaker and an appeaser, popular usage of the terms helps us understand what Stott is getting at here. A peacemaker tends to be someone that we hold in high regard, but an appeaser could well be someone who will sell the family treasure just to have peace. Within our churches, there is always the need to work for peace. But Christ does not have in mind here just anything that might happen to avoid trouble. The visible unity of the church is a proper Christian goal to which we all should aspire, but only if that unity is based upon the truth and doesn't come about at the expense of doctrine. Now, there are some doctrines that we can agree to differ on. They're not what we would call primary, but the truth that there is one God and that there are three persons in the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that's not something we can sell. That's something, if we disagree on that, we cannot be united. That's not possible for us to have a peace if we're struggling with that doctrine, if we are not one of one mind. The deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, the authority of Scriptures, the one way to heaven through the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot have a peace if we differ on those things. But other things, such as the version of the Bible that we prefer, we can agree to differ on that. We can agree to differ about the circumstances and the events that will surround the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. We certainly have to hold together that Christ is coming back again, but some of us are divided on and have different views. We can have peace in our fellowship with different views on that topic. So we need to be careful that we don't major on something that is minor, and that we don't divide where we could be united, that we hold the fundamentals of the faith, and that we seek to prosecute peace on that basis. The peace that Jesus speaks of here is not a cheap peace. There are things that we may disagree on, and that is fine. We can still have peace. What are the practical implications then of this if we are to be peacemakers? How does that work itself out? Sometimes we cover over many sins in our own lives by claiming that we are innocent of the sin of hypocrisy. How many times have you heard it said, "I'm not going to be a hypocrite. It was in my mind, so I have to say it. Because it's in my mind, I had to say it. If I didn't say it, I would be a hypocrite." Just because you think or feel a thing does not mean that it has to be said. Because if your thought is wrong or harmful, that it does not cure that thought or forgive that thought by airing those thoughts. It would be better to go and to seek forgiveness for our wrong thoughts than to compound that sin by causing harm to others because we wanted them to know how we felt. We are responsible for what we think, for what we say, and for what we do. And if a thought is wrong, it is a sin. And it only multiplies that sin as we then give expression to it. Not only are we compounding our own sinful thoughts, but perhaps we might actually be encouraging others to commit sins as well. So let us therefore be careful. If we think that there is virtue in saying just whatever happens to be in our minds, there is something immature and insensitive about the person who just says what they are thinking. Not so the peacemaker. There is a willingness there to keep a rein on his or her tongue for the sake of peace. Will this promote peace? Is this a proper thought? Now, you will remember at the beginning I said that sometimes we do have to create waves in order to bring about peace. We can be a peacekeeper by just ignoring things that are wrong. But we need to make sure as we go to create a wave that the motivation for doing that is correct and it is pure. We can also have a cheap peace offered through cheap evangelism. We cannot have the proclamation of the gospel without the proclamation of the cost of that discipleship. We cannot have the call to faith without the responsibility of repentance. Inviting a person just to pray a prayer, or to put up their hand in a service, or to come forward to the front of the church faces the great danger that cheap grace is being offered. In the church's mercy ministries, we need to be careful what we preach. Sometimes Christ is offered as a kind of therapy. You see, the greatest problem is not our depression. It's not our divorce. It's not the death of our loved one. It's not our health problem. Our greatest problem is that we are estranged from God because of our sin. And we need to preach and proclaim that gospel of peace in order that there can be peace between us and God. We need God's forgiveness. We need health in our souls. We need the kind of peace that God brings. Christ is the supreme peacemaker. Of course, whatever difficulty we have in life, it's better to face those issues and problems when Christ is our Savior. But the fact is also true that having Christ as our Savior may make some difficulties worse in our lives. There may be a greater price to pay because we have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But the reward for the maker of peace is that they will be called children of God. How do we become peacemakers? We become peacemakers because we're brought into that family where God is our Father and He is the peacemaker. Christ here, as He says, they will be called children of God, means that they will be owned as children of God. You know, as a parent, how many times you've taken delight in your child. They have achieved something, and you have a sense of pride, and you want to own them. I remember now my sister, two sisters, the one next to me, just older than me, as kids we fought all the time, but we're probably now the closest. And I remember one time going along to a circus, and they were looking for some volunteers. And the first few kids that went before my sister on trying to stand on horseback, they didn't do it. They fell. They were all on a safety harness, but my sister managed to get onto her knees on the back of the horse and onto her feet, and everybody clapped. And I turned around as a little child and said, "That's my sister. I wanted to own her. I wanted people to see that I was attached in some way." And so, blessed are the peacemakers, They are mine. That's my child. That's my son. That's my daughter. They belong to me. I have brought peace into their lives. And they are now going out and spreading this message of peace, the gospel of peace. There's a readiness within their hearts because they have experienced that peace for themselves. And they're now sharing it. I know that as we go out to share the gospel, if we found a friend that was interested in hearing about the gospel, we would take a delight in sharing with them the message of peace. But do we ever come from that conversation, having shared the message of peace, where we come into the church and all we have is a message of anger, a message of saying the wrong thing? Let us reflect on how we would stand on our own before God if God had not brought peace into our lives. And because we know peace with God, let us endeavor to be a peacemaker. Jesus also says, "By their fruits you shall know them." The peacemaker is seen as a child of God by others. There's a song that we used to sing, "They shall know we are Christians by our love." And we could say something similar of the children of God. We shall know they are children of God by their peacemaking. Can we easily be identified as a peacemaker in an evangelizing sense? That we are seeking to bring others that they too might have peace with God. Can we be identified as a peacemaker within the church? That we are seeking to bring about peace by how we behave and how we speak and how we care for one another. Now, I don't want to come across as scolding the congregation, because many people who visit this congregation often make the remark to me how friendly they found the people. Let's build on that. Let's cherish that. Let's hold on to that and guard it so that the devil doesn't come in to disturb the peace. Can we be identified as a peacemaker within the larger body of the church? That we attempt to have harmony where we try to build bridges where we can build bridges. We're looking for reasons to unite rather than reasons to divide. That we define ourselves by what we're for rather than define ourselves by what we're against. Defining ourselves by the positive statement, saying what we believe, holding on to what we believe. The making of peace is a lifelong venture. Sometimes we will carelessly say words that do not promote peace, that actually hurt. But let us not become weary in working that work of peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. I own them as my child, my children, says our Heavenly Father. Blessed are the peacemakers. Let us therefore go forth and make peace. Let us pray.